All right, on to the Chiefs and the Ravens in what was supposed to be a matchup of MVP hopefuls. One reigned supreme, and that would be Patrick Mahomes, who threw for 374 yards and three touchdowns, while Lamar Jackson on the other side struggled with the deep ball, something that couldn't be said the first 2 weeks of the season. Chiefs remain undefeated. They've now scored 26 or more points in a record 24 straight regular season games. All right, let's start there, Nick. What did Mahomes and the Chiefs prove in their win over Baltimore?
Nobody is slowing down this offense, flatly. This was rain intermittent. They had no left tackle. They didn't have their best wide receiver. They didn't have their starting running back. And you look down, and it's the beginning of the fourth quarter against maybe the best defense in the AFC other than New England. And you're like, oh, they're up 30-13. The Jags game, it's like, oh, this is, it turns out to be a great defense. You look down, beginning of the fourth quarter, oh, it's 37-13. The Raiders game in between, they scored four touchdowns in the second quarter and then just put it in neutral and glided on home. It feels right now that if you have Andy Reid designing the plays and Patrick Mahomes throwing the football, almost all the other pieces are interchangeable. They didn't even have their best running back named Williams yesterday, and he's the one who makes the play that clinches the game late after Baltimore had a bit of a fourth quarter rally. Patrick Mahomes just in uncharted waters now. We all said he can't match his 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown season. He's on pace for a 6,300-yard, 54-touchdown season, and he hasn't thrown an interception yet. So Chiefs offense against Jacksonville and Baltimore, two of the best defenses in football, has been exceptional. We can only imagine what they're going to look like when they play some of the worst defenses in football. And the defense has clearly been improved. I'm not ready to say the defense is fixed yet, but the defense clearly is improved. Right now, the Chiefs, bless you, look like, if not the best team in football, clearly one of the top two.
Yeah, they did a good job yesterday. You have to give their defense credit, because what Baltimore offers and presents, it's a lot of stuff. Now, I do believe that Baltimore's passing game with Hollywood Brown, when he's healthy, he's only practicing one day a week, missed all of training camp. He's still got that Liz Frank where he broke his foot, still trying to heal from that. You could see as the game goes on, he starts to get a little bit of limp and his speed was a little bit hampered, especially on a muddy track. Andrews, their tight end, their number one receiver. He was hurt during the week. He played in the game, didn't play real well. So they negated their tight ends from being able to be as effective. So that game plan right there was rock solid. And that was something Kansas City couldn't do before. This was a good football game. Because I remember Baltimore's going to be a good team in the end. I do believe these two teams will see each other. Andy Reid and the wide receivers thus far have done a tremendous job. They make spectacular catches. They run their routes at full speed. And regardless if they're the one receiver in the play or the number four from a priority standpoint, all their guys are making plays all over the field. So Patty Mahomes, too, because Tyreek Hill's not there and Kelce is unselfish, he doesn't feel the demand that normal quarterbacks feel in, I got to get this guy the ball. I got to get this guy a certain amount of touches. I got to get this guy. The only difference when Patty Mahomes and the Golden State Warriors is, Golden State was top five in defense when they won those championships. In Kansas City, what kind of defense are they going to have? Because Patty Mahomes, Steph Curry, and what they were doing are the only things that I see. But the only thing can stop them is that defense. Can that defense hold up if they have to go on the road and they face against teams that have more competent wide receiving core than what Baltimore has, a pretty unproven group?
So Lamar Jackson yesterday, he looked human for the first time this season. If you're Lamar Jackson, what do you take away from that game?
Well, I think Lamar, he struggled in a place throwing the ball that he struggled last year throwing the ball. And I think if you're for Lamar, Chris's point that the options he's been two most dynamic with all year, Hollywood Brown did not look like the player he had the first couple weeks. And Mark Andrews, who has been dynamic for them, was a game time decision. And you could see that he was not at 100%. But I think for Lamar, it was not going to, the MVP best passer in football season was not going to continue. He did make a couple spectacular plays in the attempted comeback. Well, two fourth downs. One was very fortunate, wasn't picked. The other was a great play by him. And then the touchdown run to cut it to a three-point or a five-point game, pardon me, could have been a three-point game if they got the two-point conversion late in the game. He was electric, avoiding the rush again, and he was inaccurate with the football. I don't want to overreact to this game from Lamar. It was a bad game by him passing the football, but he was under duress a fair amount, and the Chiefs had a pretty good game plan, which was, if you're going to run the ball, go ahead and run the ball. And the Ravens had a good – their plan was to run the ball, and then, to use the Warriors analogy, they went on that 18-4 run, and you get taken out of your running game, so now you have to throw it, and that's a situation I don't think Baltimore's going to find themselves in very often, where they're down three scores and you have to throw the football. The Chiefs did that to him, which is why, even though the Chiefs gave up 200 yards rushing, it didn't really hurt him in that regard.
Yeah, ultimately, keep your eye on those rushing numbers, because if they're going to lose, time possession is going to be a part of it. A quarterback struggling in Kansas City throwing the ball? No. On a wet day? No. I'm not worried about that at all. His team was still in the position with the comeback. If you look at the lack of experience that the skilled guys have in Baltimore, they left Kansas City yesterday feeling good, saying, you know something? I hope we get another chance at them. Baltimore trying to get back on the winning track. I think they play Cleveland this week. Yep. This is two very good teams playing, and I don't think that Lamar is looking at this game as a negative. He know he can throw the ball a lot better, but there were four or five balls that he had right off the fingertips of his wide receivers and his tight ends.
Just barely missed him. He didn't turn the ball over, which was huge.
And I thought you would love John Harbaugh's aggressive play calling yesterday. Going for it on the touchdown, for it on fourth downs.
The Ravens had a very interesting, I think, philosophy. Forget the two-point conversions, which I think everyone should do the way they did it in those spots. But they clearly thought, you know what? Whether Kansas City's got 90 yards to go or 40 yards to go, they're going to be hard to stop. So our job is to keep the football. And so they went for a bunch of fourth downs. It didn't work out for them in this game, but I do agree with you. I do think it was the right call.
See, I do know you a
little bit. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, guys, this is Jenna Wolf. I'm here to tell you about Noom. Some people think that all diet and weight loss plans are the same, but that's because they haven't tried Noom. Noom is a new, totally different approach to losing weight and getting healthy that uses psychology and small goals to help you change your habits, making it easy to lose the weight and keep it off for good. Noom combines the power of technology with real human support, offering as little or as much help as you want along the way. And since Noom is an app, it's always with you and easy to use, which makes it super easy to stay on track and reach your goals. It's just as simple to get started. Go online, answer a few quick questions, and they'll create a personalized program just for you. Noom can help you lose your old way of thinking about food and dieting. So what do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/podcast, Noom.com/podcast, and start your 14-day trial today. Change your habits, change your mind, change for good with Noom. On to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. On Saturday, they suffered a 35-14 loss to Wisconsin. Wasn't even that close. At one point, Wisconsin was leading 35-0. Naturally, a lot of questions for Harbaugh following that loss. Here's what he had to say to the media yesterday.
You know, really from A to Z, wasn't good, wasn't good enough, and, not acceptable. So starts really with not acceptable for me. We didn't play physical enough. We were out hustled. I take responsibility for that. In any ways that we were out schemed, also take responsibility. It's my job to make sure that we're completely sound. Not a day we're proud of.
So in short, every single thing that went wrong, he's going to admit to it being his fault. How hot is the seat for Jim Harbaugh right now, CC?
I think as far as the national media, it's a talking point. But the people in Michigan, the people making the decisions, the athletic director, I don't believe that he's taking applications. No, I believe he has a lot of confidence in Harbaugh. The board of trustees, these people, the board of regents, these are the people that make these decisions. No, Michigan, this is what they signed up for. When you go back and grab a coach who's had success in the NFL and he's an alumni of your university, you are stuck for a certain period of time. Now it's a matter of how long are we going to be stuck in this predicament we're in. Now, because right now, what is Harbaugh known for? You guys think he's a top five recruiter in the country? He's not. You think he's a motivator? Look at his press conference. He's not. How can you have 100 college kids and they play without emotion? Man, college football, it's all emotion. So the kids aren't responding to what he's teaching. How can you be out-schemed by Wisconsin? You know what they're going to do. They got 8 fat boys, and they're going to lean on you, and they got a little tailback that they're going to run. The same thing they've been doing the last 20 years. So when you're out of school and you get out-physicaled by Wisconsin, they have better athletes than you, and we know you got good prospects because we see the ratings every year, the recruits you're getting, and we watch the NFL draft. You still got kids that are playing on Sunday, high draft picks, drafted first day on rounds 1, round 2, and round 3. So this is a Harbaugh problem. But for me, the thing that is the most troubling is, from an offensive innovation standpoint, he's given up the play calling duties. But when he was in San Francisco, he was known for physical offensive line play, the pistol formation he brought from Nevada, developing a quarterback, and these unbalanced lines. He does none of that at Michigan. So for me, he's a guy that doesn't have any type of identity, let alone the team not have an identity. What is Harbaugh great at right now? He's not calling plays. Their recruiting is not the best. And they're not going to be physical. So for me, I'm a little lost. But we got a petition in Columbus, Ohio. We're petitioning to give him an extension. We need to keep him. He's got free hospital services. We want to keep him alive and breathing so Ryan Day can pile up some of those wins that our guy Urban piled up against him.
This has been a disaster. And I was...
Why are you so sad, man?
Because I don't
you,
like
You would
being,
think you would have went to school there
I
or something.
I just don't like being wrong. And if the reason this is a little personal for me is my first time ever filling in for one Colin Cowherd years ago when I was first getting on television, I said very triumphantly and defiantly that if you don't tell me if you're coaching high school, college, or pro, you're just going to go coach football. And I can have my number one pick of anybody in the world. I'll take Jim Harbaugh.
For the next 10 years.
For the next 10
years.
So
you had a little age in there.
I had a little
Nick
age
Saban
in there.
And so, Belichick
yeah,
and them.
Like, but I saw him succeed at Stanford where no one had succeeded. Now David Shaw has succeeded at an even higher level. I saw him succeed at San Francisco. Now in the NFL, his brother was clearly the better coach then and now. And then at the time, he had gotten to Michigan, and it looked like he was this close because – they were this close, remember, to beating Ohio State, that fourth down game they ended up losing. Now you look back and you say, what is his best win at Michigan? It's a loss. It's when they came this close to beating Ohio State.
Yep.
Since he's been at Michigan, this is 8th year, they are the only Power 5 school to not win a game as an underdog. Now, they're not underdogs that often, so they don't have as many opportunities, but to have never won a game as an underdog, to have never beaten your rival, to in your last 3 games against Power 5 schools, Ohio State, Florida, and Wisconsin, be outscored 138-68, to need overtime to beat Army, to be out of 130 teams, 97th in offense, 97th in rushing, 99th in passing efficiency, 119th in turnover margin. Joel Klatt said something during the game that I thought Joel, and Joel's never wrong about this stuff, I thought he had to be wrong. It was early in the Wisconsin game. He said this is their 9th fumble of the year. I was like, it's their 9th quarter of the year.
Right.
And they've had 9 fumbles. And part of that is coaching. You know who doesn't fumble the ball a lot? Alabama. You know who doesn't fumble the ball a lot? Well-coached teams. I don't know where it went wrong for Harbaugh because I do think he got the most out of those Niner teams. I do think he got the most out of those Stanford teams.
No doubt.
But this has been awful. I mean, awful. 40-15 at Michigan during, if we're being honest, a bit of a downtime in the Big Ten, aside from Ohio State's extended run of excellence, is unacceptable.
I know that he recruits the players, but how much of it is the players, the personnel, and how much of it is the coaching and what he's doing on Saturdays?
Jenna, this is the big difference between college and pro. on Saturday, college, it's the coach's fault. Especially when you're at a big school, a Power Five conference, a national recruiting base, an alumni base, resources that are unlimited, unmatched. No, it's the coach. You have to be able to blame it on the coach. And if the players weren't getting drafted, if they weren't being all Big Ten, if they weren't 5- and 4-star recruits, then you could particularly look. But it's college. Typically, the blame goes to the coach. Jim Harbaugh has no one to blame. Now he's not calling plays. So what are you doing? Are you just a lead recruiter? You managing the game again? Like, they need to find some type of an identity. And to me, when you can't develop a quarterback and you are a former quarterback, that to me is a bigger indictment than losing the games when you're an underdog or he's 1-6 against ranked opponents on the road. At some point, you got to win on the road, and at some point, you got to beat a ranked.
You got to get a signature win. You got to beat your rival or get a signature win or win all the games you're supposed to. You're doing none of the above at Michigan. At Michigan with the name of Jim Harbaugh, I was just wrong on him, and it's just
in Michigan, they got beautiful facilities. They got great uniforms. They're a Jordan brand team. But Jim Harbaugh and them khakis, it's not playing well with these young kids. Like he thought it was. It was cute when he was showing up at midnight, sitting down playing video games with kids. But it's not playing well.
Stop what you're doing and look down at your left wrist, because our friends at Movement Watches have got exactly what you're missing. Movement has you covered with tons of quality, clean, and all-around good-looking watches and accessories that we can actually afford and order right from our couch. Do your wrist and wallet a favor. Go check out their minimalist designs that you can have with no risk, because they offer free shipping and returns. With over 2 million watches sold worldwide, Movement has solidified themselves as one of the fastest growing watch brands out there. They also have tons of sunglasses and offer interchangeable watch straps, so you never run out of options for a new look. Movement watches start at just $95, so you're guaranteed to find something you love that won't break your bank. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/first. See why Movement keeps growing. Check out their expanding collection. Go to mvmt.com/first. Join the movement.
Pro Football Focus put out its rankings of top quarterbacks this season. Brace yourself, Nick. Tom Brady is sitting as the top-ranked number one quarterback in the league. That thanks to his 7 touchdowns and 0 picks through 3 games. Also thanks to his insane ability to look 22 instead of 42, but probably more the touchdown part of it. See, is Tom Brady really still the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, listen, Tom Brady, we just got to put something on this. We got a lot of respect for Tom Brady. But, man, we can't get him in no throwing contest with Aaron Rodgers or Patty Mahomes. Like, we know that. Like, Tom's played great. He's played better than we ever expected. He's had 2 Hall of Fame careers. I've never heard it said better than Nick. You take the first part of his career, Hall of Fame. You take the back part of his career, Hall of Fame. But right now, I don't know what football they've been watching. I know his numbers and everything are good, but Patty Mahomes is playing at a level that I've only seen a few quarterbacks play at. You can see how he flights the ball, how he puts air on the ball, how he gets to the 3rd and 4th receiver without his number one weapon or number 2-1A weapon in Tyreek Hill being out. Still getting big, big numbers from guys who we'd never even heard of. That's the force multiplier that we're talking about. Now, has Tom dealt with an awful lot? Absolutely. You got Josh Gordon. Don't know if he's going to be there week to week. And then they went out and brought his stepbrother in, A.B. He was only there 11 days. For Tom Brady, that's a lot to be dealing with.
And the offensive line. People in and out.
Listen, Brady's been excellent this year. No one should discount what Brady's done. Number 4 in rating, number 7 in yards, number 4 in touchdown, number 5 in yards per attempt. That's a really good year. But the only people in the world who think Tom Brady has played better this year than Patrick Mahomes is Gisele Bündchen and the people at Pro Football Focus. Brady don't even think it. And the big thing, I read their article where they said the best thing he has going for him is he has zero turnover-worthy plays. So one of the smart things Pro Football Focus does is if you throw a pass that should have been picked and is dropped, that is graded the same as if it actually is picked. They grade the process over results. Well, when your defense hasn't allowed a point, and you have played the dregs of the league, of course Tom Brady's not going to take no damn chances. Of course Tom Brady's going to be incredibly cautious with the throws he makes. That I gave you Brady was 4-7-4-5 in rating yards, touchdowns, and yards per attempt. Patrick Mahomes, just for the record, is 1-1-1-1. He leads the NFL in everything, including the eye test. And so we've got to, when Chris heard it this morning, you asked, I think, legitimately, did we give Brady a staggered start? Did he get some legacy points?
Yeah.
Pro Football Focus doesn't do that. They're supposed to be dispassionate. Their methodology on this, I have to disagree with. Brady is having the greatest year any 40-plus-year-old's ever had, aside from maybe Brady 2 years ago when he was 40. But let's not lie about who's been the best quarterback in football this year.
But it's like what you said, because of who their competition is, because of who he's got on offense, who he's throwing the ball to without a tight end, all of it, he's going into the season playing it safe. Short passes, sure passes. He doesn't want to get hurt. He wants to protect himself. He has a shoddy offensive line right now.
No doubt.
Doesn't all of this sort of contribute and add to his sort of, I don't want to call them padded stats, but protected stats maybe?
Well, this is the thing. It's about winning the game. There's nothing wrong with the way Tom Brady's playing. If you had that offensive line, you'd be getting rid of that ball, too. There were a few times where he was under duress. You could see that he wasn't comfortable. But starting this weekend against Buffalo, you're going to start to see he's not going to have an easy time. And also Edelman. How much time is he going to miss? James Devlin, the fullback, he's on injured reserve. So Brady's going to have to overcome an awful lot. But the competition thus far, come on, the Jets, their quarterback's out with the high school kissing, the Dolphins, they're a high school team. Let's really be serious about this.
And just for the record, for Pats fans out there, if this is correct, if Brady is playing better than any quarterback in football, then cancel the season. Defense hadn't allowed a score, and you got a quarterback that's going to play better than everybody. But that's – I don't think it is correct, and I agree with Chris 1,000%. We're about to find out how good this Pats offense really is starting this week in Buffalo. An excellent defense, a team that presents a lot of problems on that side of the ball. Nobody questions how great the Patriots defense is. I do have questions about the Patriots offense, and I think so does Bill Belichick, which is why he didn't instantly cut Antonio Brown Friday morning. He waited until after practice that Friday, see if there was maybe a little external pressure. They're down a lot of key pieces on that offense. They're going to need Tom Brady to be this good for them to compete on a high level moving forward.
And I came from the school of thought that Bill Belichick is even looking out on the horizon. The reason why you take a chance with someone like AB is because you know there's a gunslinger in Kansas City. And you know that offense, what they've done the last two times that you've played them, how long am I going to be able to hold Patty Mahomes and them off? That's the reason why that's why they take a chance with Josh Gordon, and that's why they go out there and take the chance with AB, knowing the firepower ultimately that they might face.
It's interesting. I haven't heard that.
I just made it up.
I thought so.
I think it's correct, though.
It's the 100th year of the NFL. How excited are you for this season? NFL players have been coached. Blue light from smart devices can affect your sleep. Wear blue blocker glasses in the evening for improved sleep. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept that night and gain insights for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/cadence. Back here on First Things First, we're joined by former NFL head coach Eric Mangini. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Nice. Good to be back.
What's up, C? Gave me a look.
No, I'm just moving along. That's all.
All right.
Just taking it all in.
We'll talk some Rams now. They followed
Rich
up
people conversation.
They knew. They followed up last season's Super Bowl appearance with a 3-0 start. But the biggest question then is still the biggest question now: is Todd Gurley really healthy? He's fresh off a game with, wait for it, 43 rushing yards and zero catches. Head coach Sean McVay insists Gurley is not on a limited workload, and he himself has to do a better job of getting Gurley involved. Coach, do the Rams need Gurley to return to the Gurley of old if they want to be a Super Bowl threat again?
Well, when you look at his statistics, he's still averaging 4.6 yards a carry, and collectively, the team's averaging, or the team's in the top, what, five or seven in rushing yards per game, overall rushing yards. They're incorporating Malcolm Brown more into the mix, which I think is actually a good idea. It's a long season. He's consistently had heavy, heavy workloads. If he is still coming off an injury, the ability to mix in the carries or to split the carries a little bit more evenly, as long as you're not sacrificing production, which they really haven't sacrificed a tremendous amount of production, I think that's a good thing. You have a chance now later in the season for that back to be fresher. Now, that being said, with him being a significant threat and creating those eight-man boxes, it opens up for what they want to do all the time, which is the hard sell play action shots, and it also clears things up from a coverage perspective. We talk about this a lot for Jared Goff because he knows what he's getting with the eight-man boxes.
I'm far more concerned about this than it sounds you are. I think Todd Gurley's been, other than Aaron Donald, the most important player on this team over the last 3 years. Todd Gurley in 2017 and 2018, put those two seasons together, he averaged 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns. And it's the reason I'm so concerned is he's not coming off a specific injury. He seems to have a degenerative knee problem. If it was, he got hurt. He's not yet up to full strength. There was an injury. There was a hit. Carson Wentz situation, something like that. I'd feel one way. And the other thing that is, to me, a flashing warning sign is, you mentioned yards per carry, which is 4.6, which is good, right in line about with his career average. He has four catches for 8 yards this year. He has been non-existent as a pass catcher out of the backfield, and where you have seen the numbers dip is on the Jared Goff side of things. Jared Goff is having very small sample size, but the worst start to a season he's had under Sean McVay. Now, are they still a Super Bowl threat? Well, if the defense continues like this, which is the best defense they've had since Sean McVay's been there, the most productive defense, they can offset an offense going backwards a bit. But this was a top three offense last year that does not look like a top three offense. And the reason they were that, to my eye, was because they had the most dynamic dual threat running back in the NFL. And I don't think Todd Gurley is that anymore, or at least he hasn't shown that to me.
There's a couple of things that caused me a great deal of concern. And part of Nick's concern is probably just an overflow from me. I don't know, guys. I played with a guy that had a degenerative knee. His name was Robert Smith. That was ultimately the reason why he retired, turned down a lot of money, was because he said, I want to be running, playing with my kids when I get older. I haven't seen running backs come back. There's only one Frank Gore. Besides that, there's no other running backs that I have seen that have degenerative knees. Nick makes a great point. This is not he tore his ACL, he tore his Achilles, he ruptured, he did something. No, he broke his leg. No, this is a condition that does not get better, and it only gets worse. And what I've seen over the last year is a running back last season who they need to give a break to recharge his battery. And then he was still only part of himself in one playoff game, and the next 2 weeks, he was a different player. Training camp, how'd they come back? He's only 25, right? Oh, he can't practice. The NFL is easier now than any other time in the history as far as the practices, the wear and tear on your body. They have him on a pitch count at training camp at 25. So for me, what happened last year, what's happening at training camp, and when was the last time you seen Todd Gurley run an explosive route down the seam, down the football field, the way he used to do the previous three seasons? No. I think Todd Gurley is damaged goods. I think that the Rams are doing the best job to spin this as much as possible because they don't want to look bad about that contract that they gave him. But there is no other running back that is his age fits his profile that's on some type of pitch count.
I remember Curtis Martin talking about dealing with pain and understanding that there's going to be a certain amount of pain that goes when you're dealing with an injury. There's going to be a certain amount of pain that you have to get through, and it's different than re-injuring whatever you have. And that may be some of it for Todd Gurley, is understanding that there's always going to be pain because it is a degenerative knee, and how much pain can you deal with, and how do you deal with that and coming to terms with that, and that'll help him. I think the Rams are doing a good job because when you do have something that's a wear and tear based injury, to take some of the wear and tear off him, to maximize what he can give later in the season so that he is a threat. He maintains the ability to be a threat deep into the season and into the playoffs. I like the approach of splitting up the carries and taking some workload off as he learns about his ability to deal with this injury and this amount of pain.
Yeah, I would love if that was the number one plan. We have a great player, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell. We have a great player. You know something? We're going to draft someone behind him to take that workload off. I don't think it came that way. I think that they discovered that knee was not getting better. They gave him all that guaranteed money. And then they decided, you know something? We're going to need some help to be able to take the load off of Todd Gurley.
But doesn't a limited run game now affect their play action game and what they're going to do moving
forward?
That
was the perfect question, and the numbers say absolutely right. Where Jared, listen, every quarterback's numbers are better in play action than not play action. You talk about all the time, the best quarterbacks, when they know you're going to pass, can you pass? The reason play action's effective, suck up the linebackers. The defense has to deal with the threat of the run and the pass. Last year, Jared Goff was as effective as any player in the league on play action passes. This year, that productivity has evaporated. Now, maybe it's just a small sample. Maybe it's bad luck on a couple throws. Or maybe it is that plus teams are less afraid of the play action because you no longer have the most dynamic, deadly running back in football back there.
But that's not true. He's averaging 4.6 yards a carry. Malcolm Brown's averaging 4.9 yards a carry. They're a top 10 rushing team. So is every team going to come up and say, okay, we're willing to concede almost 5 yards every time they throw the ball? Sometimes with that play action, it's a formation-based thing too. Defenses catch up. They've studied a lot of Rams film, so you need to build that hard sell play action out of different looks. If you keep giving the same different formations, because I can tell you when they get in tight and those tight split receivers, the percentage of hard sell play action from them jumps dramatically. I'm sure there's some down and distance tendencies. I'd imagine first play of the series, hard sell play action jumps dramatically. They got to break those tendencies too.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.